I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
It's My Pop's Culture, starring my son, Ben, and me, his dad.
Do you really have to say it like that, Dad?
With our guest star, half of Cheech and Chong, Tommy Chong. Well, I am on a high for this interview.
Yeah, and I just need to get high to deal with you. When was the first time that I think we were ever open about the fact that, like, I smoke weed?
The first time we spoke about you smoking weed was when one time we walked in your room and it smelled like weed. And then your mom was kind of pissed.
She was pissed that I was smoking weed?
Yes. She said, I think our son's smoking weed in his bedroom and I don't like that.
But it's like I also wasn't like a bad kid.
No, you weren't a bad kid.
It's like I was getting good grades and I was like actually respectable.
That's fine. But I think it just surprised her that you're smoking weed. That was more the thing that it was, because I think in my generation, for at least, not my generation, I'm going to say when I was a teenager, weed was more of a weekend thing versus something you smoked in your bedroom all the time.
I wasn't smoking it all.
Well, at least
the
with
time.
My group of friends, it was always like we went out to get weed for the weekend.
What was getting weed like when you were getting weed?
When I would get weed, I'll share a story with you.
Okay,
so it was the Jewish New Year. It was Rosh Hashanah. And we had come back from synagogue. And I met my buddy David after synagogue. And we said, let's go to a place called the Jungle. And it was an area with these townhomes. It was called the Jungle. Mm-hmm. And you would park your car in the Jungle. And you'd wait till someone came out. And you'd roll your window down this much.
Okay.
And then someone would come out to you and say, you want a dime bag? And you put $10 through the window. And they would put this little envelope of weed through the window. And then you got the hell out of the Jungle. The story was that day when we went, we parked our car and nobody showed up. And then a police car drove past our car while we were waiting for someone to show up and then backed up in front of our car and parked in front of us. And both officers came out and they're like, what are you guys doing here? And we said, oh, we're just waiting for a friend. And they flashed the flashlight in the car and saw these rolling papers in the car. And they're like, get the fuck out of the car. And then they took your dad and his friend and they shoved us against the hood of the car. We had to slam our hands down on the hood like this. And they're saying, you guys get in here. And then anyways, they're scaring us. Then we finally admitted that we were here just to buy drugs. We don't have any drugs on us. We were here to buy. And then one of the officers said, oh, I guess you want to celebrate the Jewish New Year. But anyways, that was a story that happened to your dad.
Yeah.
Trying to buy drugs.
Definitely not what it's like now.
No.
I go online. I find what I like. I order it. It comes to my house. I don't have to leave my home to get drugs anymore.
You've lost the whole adventure of how to buy weed in the Jungle.
I think what's interesting is hearing your story of how you're in this near arrest because of marijuana. And now it's like not even a taboo thing. I feel like in films and television, we can think about like Pineapple Express, you know, for a second, or we can think about like That 70 Show or Harold and Kumar Go to White Castle. And weed has been very much in pop culture now that it's legalized, at least in Canada, and it's getting legalization in the States. It's like there are cooking shows with weed. There's blogs where you can figure out what weed recipes to make. I think I edited a web series on a weed food pairing one day. So like I've done stuff like that. And it's like, it's no longer taboo.
No, it isn't taboo anymore, you know, and it's not because it's not illegal. And also because people have found that there are medicinal qualities to it, that people are actually, your grandfather, your late grandfather used to use oils. What are they, CBD
oils? He used CBD oils or THC
yes.
oils.
Yes.
I mean, your mom bought a weed pen.
I know. Let's not go there. No. Yeah. And yeah. She didn't buy it because she's in pain either.
No, she bought it because she thought it'd be fun.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. There you go.
And then the way we found out is she brings it down to like a dinner with all the cousins. She's bringing down this weed pen
yes.
and huffing on it.
Well, there's no. Don't put your grandmother down. Where did you not know?
I'm not putting her down. I'm saying that she's helping destigmatize.
Right, but did you not also at one point when all four of your grandparents were over for a Shabbat dinner the Sabbath, and you decided to bring your vape, and all grandparents took a toke from your vape around the table?
I did do that.
Yeah,
I thought it was great.
No, okay. So to your point, it is interesting how
it definitely
something
helped mom's cooking taste better.
Yeah, that's fine. I think it's interesting how. It has changed. You know, you look back at pop culture and it's like, oh my God, you know, Reefer Madness was about how weed made you crazy, that you jump out of a window. Mm-hmm. And it was a propaganda film to everything now that it's just part of our lives. That's all it is.
Marijuana, the burning weed with its roots in hell.
It just feels like another thing. It
yes.
doesn't feel like, at least for my generation and for me, it doesn't feel like there's anything naughty or wrong about it. It just feels like, oh, I've got weed in the house. And that's
like, who would have thought that something that you would get arrested for is now something you could just deliver to your home?
Yeah. I mean, we did smoke weed together in Amsterdam.
You know what? I'm not a huge weed guy. I think I smoked a lot of weed when I was a teenager. I really don't smoke a lot as an adult. Mm-hmm. But the one thing was, when we took you kids to Amsterdam, I just thought one of the coolest things ever would be to smoke weed with all my children and bond over weed. And then what I thought would be really cool and would be a neat thing to do as a family turned into, you guys all made fun of me. You turned something that
fun of you.
You did. You turned something that I thought would be really fun to do with my family, and you turned it to shit, and you treated me like
we didn't.
You
what,
did.
Here's how it started.
No.
The thing that you thought would be really fun, really cool, you decide to be a total idiot, walk into a weed shop, And they hand you a vape. So if they hand you a joint and like, and it was like a cylindrical tube.
First of all, they have a menu, like a McDonald's.
Yeah.
And I was being a patron and
an idiot.
I was asking the person behind the counter to what would be a good weed for my family to smoke
you
together?
You walked in this place like you've never even heard the term weed before.
They
handed you the joint. How does this work? So what do you do with this?
Well, I didn't
like
know.
You've never seen a joint
no,
in your life.
No, it wasn't how the joint works. How does this work here? I've never walked into a store where
no,
you
No, because I think at one point you said, so you just light this end?
Like, I didn't say that.
Yes, you did.
No, I didn't say that.
You did. And then we all went outside in this alley and started.
Well, first we went upstairs into this place.
Which kind of looked like a drug den.
Yeah, because everybody was sitting in couches, zoned out.
Well, it kind of looked like what your parents warned you about weed would do to you.
Yes.
So at least we went outside and smoked in like an alley. But
in an alley.
Yeah. Well, it was on the street somewhere. We smoked outside.
With urine on the...
Yeah. And then you're wanting to take photographs of all of us smoking weed together.
I have a great photo of me with my kids around me and I'm smoking the joint.
Yeah. It's fantastic.
Anyways, it would have, and then you guys made fun of me later.
We didn't make fun of you later. Then we all got the munchies. Then we went to a waffle shop ordering waffles.
Oh, they were good waffles.
And then because you just have severe anxiety, we're eating waffles. Josh and I are laughing because we're just stoned. And you take it that we're laughing at you. And so then the entire time you're on edge being like, oh, you're talking about me. What are you saying about me? What are you talking about?
So you're saying I got paranoid. From being on the weed.
Yeah, you were the worst person to get high with.
I wasn't paranoid. You were making fun of me. And I was asking
what the
joke was.
We literally were just laughing because we were high. And you took it as, oh, they're shit-talking me behind my back. And I'm going to be paranoid the entire time.
You are... Okay.
I think the day afterwards, like Josh and I went, got a joint ourselves and got high alone because we were like, oh, it's so much better without you.
I think that I wanted to do something memorable with my children. And I thought, you know, we're in Amsterdam. Let's do something memorable. And I wanted to smoke weed with my kids. And now it became, dad's an idiot the way he ordered weed. Dad's an idiot the way he was high after. And dad's an idiot, period. And all three of my children are very bunch of ingrates. That's what I have to say to that.
Well, all I have to say is I'm very grateful for our guest today.
Why?
Because we're speaking to Tommy Chong.
What kind of joint is this, man?
Oh, it's a heavy-duty joint, man.
Oh, it looks like a toothpick, man.
No, it's not a toothpick, man.
No, hey, it is a toothpick, man.
Oh, man, it's just... it is a toothpick.
And Tommy Chong is the face of weed, the voice of weed. When you think of weed in pop culture, think of Tommy Chong.
Yes.
And I want to... I'm very curious to know about where weed has gone in pop culture. But then part of me also wants to know, how the hell can weed help you with all your problems? Maybe Tommy can help you figure out what strain you have to use to figure out your anxiety and your issues.
I don't know if I'm going to very much like this conversation, because I feel this is like an intervention of my dad has issues.
It's an intervention for someone to do drugs.
Right. An intervention to do drugs. Yeah. The reverse intervention.
I think I'm on board.
Is there such a thing?
Well, there is now.
It's nothing like a father being told by his son, we're going to have a talk with Tommy Chong and figure out why you're so fucking uptight.
Yeah, and to figure out what drugs you should be doing.
Very okay, this is something I'm not looking forward to.
Well, I am.
I think this whole thing's just going to go up in smoke. Now that was clever.
On that note, let's start the interview.
Which button do I push, or do I need to smoke a joint before I figure this out?
How you guys doing?
Good, how are you doing?
You're Ben and Marshall, huh?
Yeah.
Sound like a guitar amp there.
And I wish we had more guitars in our background. It looks like you got some nice ones on your wall.
Yeah, I'm a collector.
What have you got back there, Tommy?
Oh, all sorts of shit. Mostly Fender. I know what I got, Fender. You got one of each. J.R. Reed is what I play, though. I'm just trying to get this thing fixed up here. I got a little Canadian style jury rig here.
Oh, we got our own Canadian rig over here, don't we?
Yeah, you know, clamped on a thing. Yeah. Well, you know, I grew up, I was used to not buying stuff, but having to make stuff or make stuff make do. There's a whole Canadian, well, this will do.
Yeah.
It's not what it should be, but it'll do.
How long you were born in Edmonton? How long did you live in Canada for, Tommy?
20 I guess about almost 30 years.
Wow.
Yeah, I left almost 30 when I left to go make my name and my claim my victory.
Can't be done. You can't do that in Edmonton, can you, Tommy?
Actually, it's kind of hard to do it in Canada.
Yes.
Canada, you know, we got more people in California in my neighborhood than we have in all of Canada.
That's true.
So
that's true. Yeah. We're spread out up here.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of room to chill up here. So, Tommy, this won't be a surprise to you, but we want to talk to you a lot about weed today. I don't know if you're comfortable talking more about weed, but we really want to talk to you about weed and pop culture and how weed has really fit in the pop culture landscape, how it's grown across pop culture. And I think just also how you are a big face of that change and how you've helped pioneer that change of weed.
Yes.
Yeah, well, weed was given to us by the creator as a test. Mm-hmm. It is like the perfect plant for the human because it provides everything. Food, clothing, intelligence. I mean, everything.
Interesting.
And yet, in our wisdom, we've managed to make it illegal a few times.
What's the test, Tommy? He said weed was provided as a test. What is the test?
To realize it. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, here you are. This will cure all the sorts of problems that you have in your life. Think about it. Cannabis created all religion. Going back to India, it was in the beginning. It all started with someone getting high and going, hey, just a minute here, you know. There's, you know, where did this come from?
Yeah.
And then the voice said, me. Learn.
So when's the first time you got high?
In Calgary, Alberta, Canada. I remember this so vividly because it changed my life. Mm-hmm. I was 17. And it was like, ooh, no, back then. That was 57. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I was 18. I was 57. And I was at a little jazz club because in Canada, again, thanks to the liquor prohibition, everything had to shut down at midnight. And there were no after-hours clubs, no restaurants couldn't serve alcohol. You know, it was really prohibition. And so we had a little jazz club. And because I was a musician, if I brought my guitar, I could get into the club. I could play jazz, but I could definitely get in club free. And so I used to hang out there. And then one day, a bass player, Chinese guy, Raymond Ma, shows up. He just came from California. And he handed me a joint and a Lenny Bruce record together. Changed my life. I put the joint in my pocket. And so he lit up his, another one, and he gave me a toke, and it changed my life. One toke.
What was it about that toke, Tommy?
It made me so high. I was in a jazz club. All of a sudden, the music, can you imagine? All of a sudden, I heard the music for the first time. Never heard it like that before. Mm-hmm. And it was a song by Ornette Coleman, and it was called Lonely Woman. I mean, it's so vivid in my head. That night, it just changed everything. And so that was with his joint. And then I took mine home with my Lenny Bruce record. And I would listen to Lenny Bruce. I'd take a couple of tokes, put it out, listen to Lenny Bruce, and just absorbed all that humor. And look what it brought me.
Wow.
Yeah.
Because the next day, I went and quit school. It was my second try at getting a high school diploma. And it wasn't going to happen. So I realized music. That was my life.
I mean, I think things turned out all right for you with a few bumps in the road.
Incredible. You know, the thing was, I was never looking to get away from work. You know, there's a lot of people now, especially in schools.
Yeah.
A lot of them are in school because they don't want to work. You know, they want to sit and learn.
They're professional students.
Yeah. And there's a lot of people, even going after something. I grew up with my best friend, Alan, and him and I were like, you know, dual, you know, growing up. He went one way, I went another way. As we got older and started working, because his parents, you know, he was the only child, so he was given an allowance. You know?
Yeah.
When you grow up poor, it's the other way around. You got an allowance, you got to pay the parent.
That's right.
Because you got to get a job, you know. And so I was lucky because all my friends who had jobs eventually would come around to me and ask me, hey, do you want a job? Because they had to go somewhere or something. And that's how I got all my work. But then that's also how I learned like a work ethic. Like one thing I learned growing up is that you can always help somebody. There's always somebody looking for someone to help them. And so there's no excuse for not having a job, because that's basically what you're doing with a job, or you're helping somebody.
Right.
But if you do the job in order to make money, you know, okay, that'll work too. But to be happier, you know, this is what I found out. So I always worked in my life, and that really helped me with my career, because nothing comes easy. Mm-hmm. You have to learn everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, like one of my jobs was digging a ditch, and I thought, oh man, I know how to dig a ditch. But then I used to get the whole band a job, because I was the guy that would find the job, and then the rest of the band made it work, and so they would come and I would get them jobs. And one time, for a couple of months, we had a job working for the telephone company, and the singer, Tommy Melton, ex-football player, could have been a pro player for Calgary, and he was raised on a farm. Well, he's digging one ditch, I'm digging another ditch, and I kind of looked over at his, and I had to walk over and take a look because you couldn't see him. He was so low. So he knew how to dig a ditch. And mine was pathetic. It was so pathetic. And yet I grew up like in the country, so I knew how to dig, but he knew how to do it properly. And so you can learn.
Yes.
You can learn everything. And that was the whole point of my success, really, was that I never turned down a job ever. You know? And the weed just put me in the right direction.
I think what's really funny with that is, like, one thing pop culture has done with weed is it's really given this image of the stoner.
I take a bow. I say, thank you. Thank you. Yeah, because Cheech and Chong, sort of, you know, we encourage Seth Rogen.
Yeah. Well, that's what I was telling my dad today. I'm like, do you think there could have been like a Pineapple Express without an Up and Smoke?
No, we started it off.
Hey, you want to get high, man?
That's how they do. They got wooden balls, man.
I got a joint here, man. I've been saving for a special occasion.
It was a perception. We changed it. That was what I wanted to do with the whole movie itself, visually change the perception. That's why we had Anthony Stoner, my character, rich from a wealthy family.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes.
And Jewish family, wealthy Jewish family.
Yes.
And Cheech from a very poor working class Chicano family. And then we hook up together. And the thing we have in common is getting high and playing music. And that we spoke for the whole world.
Because there's different moments in history of pop culture where weed had an influence. Like you look at, you know, Reefer Madness was propaganda. You look at Robert Mitchum being arrested in the 40s. Then when Up in Smoke came out, it became a buddy film and showed weed at a different. I think there was a real trajectory with Up in Smoke where weed was concerned.
Yeah. Yeah, Cheech and I both wanted to change. See, because Cheech really wasn't comfortable playing that Chicano character until we realized that we were changing the perception of Chicanos.
Yeah.
See?
Yes.
But then when we changed it to Cheech, I mean, he was so lovable that.
Yes.
In Calgary, the bad guys were called hoods.
Yes.
And they wore draped pants. And they had ducktails, long ducktails, and they had reputations.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so I used to walk to school with these older girls, you know, and I was kind of eavesdropping, you know, to find out what older girls thought was cute and hip with guys. You know, I learned a lot. And they always would, they talk about the guy with the draped pants and that, oh, he's so cute and oh, he's so sexy. And you know, and then they would, you'd see some, you know, like jock or something, and they, oh, what a dork, you know, oh, he's what a creep, you know, hey, he thinks he's so good, you know, but the mysterious hood, you know. And so next thing I'm trying to comb, well, I had no problem growing hair, I had the hair and put it in a ducktail, but I couldn't afford the draped pants, so I try to make my own.
And did you make your pants out of hemp?
No. I had a pants that were too big for me. You know, I mean, the poor Canadian had to do what you could do.
Yeah.
Or I had a whole thing, and I learned that in Army Cadets too. That's where I got introduced to it.
I was wondering also just about, like, playing off what you were saying before, this like normalization of weed, especially what Cheech and Chong has done, and bringing it to the forefront and showing different people using it and that it's okay. And now weed is legal, but you also got arrested for distributing bongs.
Yeah.
And like, how does that make you feel now? Just knowing that, like, you arrested for distributing bongs.
Not even
the weed itself.
Yeah.
I did a movie with Dr. Dre and Snoop Dogg called The Wash. Well, I thought I was clever. They let me write my own thing. So I thought I was clever. I'm supposed to be the dealer. And so what I did, I show up on a scooter, and I got a bong, and I got a bag of weed. I said, okay, here's the deal. The weed's free. But you're going to have to pay $300 for the bong. Yeah. And they said, okay, boom. And so we did that in the movie. Next thing I know, I'm going to jail for selling bongs. It was so poetic, man.
Isn't it so back asswards now, Tommy? Like, look at what you got in, what was it, 9 months? How long did you get?
9 months, yeah. 9 months, yeah.
Let me ask you a question, Tommy. I actually take meds for my anxiety. Should I get off my meds and smoke weed?
Ask your doctor. Tell your doctor. I'll tell you the truth. It depends on your mindset, you know.
Yeah.
And what you believe. It's according to your faith. Mm-hmm. That's written in the Bible. You know, it shall be according to thy faith. It's whatever you believe. You see, that's why those nutcases, you know, thinking the Q, all that crap, you know,
yes.
They believe yep. that. They believe right. it. You right. know? And it's like all these religious cults, it's what they believe. And you can't knock them either because they're going through an experience. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're all doing. We're going through this experience. So, my advice to you is, yeah, try it. But, you know what you're doing. That's what I tell people too. Anyway, anything
yeah.
when they ask me yeah. how do I do this or anything, you got a phone? Yeah, ask it.
Right,
right. Because I smoke weed.
Yeah,
I think he could benefit from smoking weed, and I know you're not my doctor or his doctor.
Don't even try to talk him into it. Do the opposite. Do the opposite. Yeah. No, okay, fine. More for me. That's what I saw. More for me.
Okay, so just some reverse psychology.
Because, yeah. Tommy, my son's doing like a reverse intervention with me.
Sure.
My yeah. son yeah. wants me not to get off the drugs. He wants me to
I
want to
put him on drugs.
Yeah. 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 No,
would you understand. Would you endorse that? Would you endorse that, Tommy?
Oh, anything to get the father-son talking, you know, yeah. anything, whatever works.
I was wondering if you ever smoked weed with someone like you shared very opposing beliefs with. Like, you ever smoke weed like a Trump supporter or something like that?
Not knowingly. I found out later. Yeah. I got a lot of Trump friends. Rich. I mean, very rich.
Yeah.
And when I first found out, because, you know, I'm a celebrity, they had me to their golf tournaments, you know, and we're good friends. And all of a sudden, we're driving home, and he starts on this Trump. And I looked at him, and what? So we agreed to disagree, that kind of thing.
Yeah. You know?
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns. Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/acast. That's burrow.com/acast. burrow.com/acast.
Who was the oddest celebrity you've ever smoked weed with?
Remember Leave It to Bieber?
Yeah.
Whenever we cook inside, Mom always does the cooking. But whenever we cook outside, you always do it. How come?
Well, it's sort of traditional, I guess. You know, they say a woman's place is in the home, and I suppose as long as she's in the home, she might as well be in the kitchen.
Wally,
yeah.
the older brother,
yeah.
His name is Tony Dow. I was smoking one day, we're at a party, and George Harrison of the Beatles, you know, and I, George and I are pretty good friends, you know, we're pretty good friends, because he's a guitar player, and he played on our album one time, and we had always had the weed in common, you know, that was one thing. And you know who turned the Beatles on, by the way?
Who?
Bob Dylan. Did you know that?
That's no. interesting. That's interesting.
You know, well, he turned them on probably in Canada. Yeah, he probably turned them on.
I thought I heard something, but I didn't know if it was true. I didn't know if it was
yeah,
true.
Yeah, Bob Dylan. But George and I, so we're smoking away, and all of a sudden, there's a third guy joined us, and it was Tony Dow, it was Wally. And I wanted to say, oh, gee, Wally.
Gee, Wally, you smoking
weed? Dad's really going to be mad if he finds out.
I thought it was going to be Mrs. Cleaver that smoked weed with you. I thought you're going to
say. Probably. Probably. Yeah, who'd I meet? I met a few of those old ladies. You know, they were the girls that I loved when I was young. you know, I'm 82 years old.
When you smoked with Wadley Cleaver, how long ago was that? Was that while he was on The Beaver or later?
That was just later. He'd become a metal sculptor.
Yes.
And so that was Wally. I've smoked with, let me see. Well, one of the most fun guys was Peter Sellers.
I am Inspector Clouseau of the Sûreté. And I am here on official police business.
He was a big hash head. You know, he loved hash. He was crazy too, but he's so funny. Oh, what a genius!
Was he as brilliant as people say as a comedian?
Yeah, more. He was the first Jim Carrey. You know,
interesting.
He was before Jim Carrey, but unlike Jim, well, no. I was going to say he could control it, but no. Peter couldn't control it either. They don't know the difference between reality and unreality, you know.
Well, that's interesting.
They live in between there. You know, they create their own realities.
You mentioned George Harrison. Now, George Harrison was also on Basketball Jones. How did that come about?
Yeah.
How did all those people come about?
Well, they're all in A&M Records. Yeah, that was on Sunset in La Brea. It was the old Charlie Chaplin Studios, A&M Records. And so Dark Horse was there, our old records, and, you know, which is Carole King and all the whoever was in the studio. That's what we'd do, you know, they'd say, come on down, we need you to do a little bit. And so we'd all, you know, like Cheech and I were on Joni Mitchell's album, which was...
It was more like a camaraderie. It was like, whoever was there, you guys want to be on
just
it.
Come on in.
Yeah.
Wow.
And there was no talk about money or time or anything. It's just, come on, do a bit, do it, you know. Yeah. The only people that really profited, I guess, were the record owners, you know, those guys that owned the companies. But yeah, it was fun.
I wanted to ask you a pop culture question, Tommy. Why were you never fully credited as director in Up in Smoke? Because you did do directing on that.
I've always been the reluctant backup guy. Mm. You know, I always backed up singers. That's how I got my career. And Cheech, you know, if you notice in the movies, he's more of the lead than I am. Mm. And so when it came to directing, because my whole philosophy, it was like a band. You know, you're not alone. You got people.
Right.
And you let other people do what they can do. And so I thought with Lou Adler, you know, I thought that we had that understanding because we did all our albums with Lou.
Yes.
And we would record some and then I'd send it in to Lou and Lou would listen to it, give me his notes. And then, you know, that's how we worked. And that's how we worked with Up in Smoke, the movie. Because Lou originally wanted it to be called Cheech and Chong's Greatest Hits. Mm. And that was the working title. And we were supposed to have another director come in. And so we had Floyd Matrix. He came and he was there for a while, but we never hit it off, you know. Floyd had his own ideas. But then I realized that's going to be the problem. So we need someone that's sort of like neutral, just do mm-hmm. kind of what Cheech and I did. And I never wanted to take credit because Cheech and I were a team,
right?
You know. Mm-hmm. And so things would always work out one way or another. But the trouble is with movies, although they have now, you know, with the Coen brothers and that, you know, you can co-direct.
Yes.
You know, but at the time we did it, the studio wanted just one director.
Gotcha. Yeah.
And so that's how we got Lou, because Lou was just going to do whatever we said to do.
Yeah.
And that's basically what happened. Now, I've got to give Lou credit because the reason Lou was so important, he would bring the George Harrisons. He would bring the big names, the big guns, you know. He had that relationship with the Stones, with everybody, you know. And he did that with our career. And then he brought in Robert Altman's movie people. Then Lou with Robert Altman's movie people, mm-hmm. Lombardo's, they were the ones that came up with the Stadenko and the cops, you know, all that dialogue and all that
yeah.
directing. That was pure Lou. And so it wasn't as, like I directed the whole movie. But what I did, it was my writing. I wrote the movie, mm-hmm. Except for the cop
yep.
parts. But it was like I wrote the cops, but they did the business and the dialogue. And so when it came down to the ending, Lou, you know, and rightly so be it, thought he acted like a director. He put his own ending in, and he screened it for us. And Paramount, it was like so bad. It was so bad. It was so bad I wrote about it, and she tried to contradict me. It wasn't that bad, but it was bad. So we had a little meeting with Lombardo and everybody, and I said, no, we got to reshoot the movie, reshoot the ending. And everybody got all stiff back. Because when you say reshoot anything, you know, that's hundreds of thousands of dollars, you know. So I wrote it, and it was easy. I knew exactly what it needed. And we went in and shot it half a day. We're done. Everything's happy. Screened it. Become one of the biggest selling movies ever.
Amazing. Yeah. Amazing.
I had another weed question for you, Tommy.
Sure.
Son has all the weed
questions.
I
got the weed questions because I like to smoke. What's your favorite strain? Or do you have a favorite strain?
I'm still looking for it. I'm close. But the search is narrowing down between cannabis and marijuana. I'm not sure. One of the two.
What's the difference between cannabis and marijuana? What's the difference between cannabis and marijuana?
There is none.
What did you say that? Did I miss something? Because I'm not a pothead.
That's what they. You got it, man. I talked over your head.
Seriously, you talked over mine. You got right to him.
I did that on CNN with I forget her name, but anyway, I told her. She says, "Do you think marijuana?" I said, "Marijuana won't be, but they'll definitely legalize cannabis."
Tommy, I feel like an idiot. Should I feel like an idiot right now?
Sure. it's a free country, right? Hey.
Yes.
Look, if Trump didn't give everybody license to be an idiot, who's going to? You know, people used to say to me, what's your favorite strain? And I used to say, anything given to me by a naked woman.
Tommy, we've got two last questions for you. You've been so amazing to chat with. Really, you've been so amazing. I've got one about, I collect a lot of pop culture stuff. I collect a lot of autographs. What's with your guitar collection? Why do you collect guitars? What do they mean to you?
They are gifts for the most part. They've been given to me. The Pantera, that rock heavy metal gimme one. I bought that one. And then the guy from War, he gave me that one. Everybody I meet now, they'll say, hey, play my guitar. And then I tell them, oh, is this a gift? And the looks on their looks on their faces, because they don't want to say no, but they don't want to give me that guitar either. And one time, it was a native Navajo. He showed me that he was very proud of his guitar. Oh, well, thanks, man. Oh, man, thank you. I really appreciate it. And he starts crying because he didn't want to say no, but yeah, this is my third collection.
Wow.
I had two stolen before, you know. Huh. But when they steal it, I go, oh, good. Now I can buy new guitars.
Yeah, you can start from scratch. Now, I want to ask you, Tommy, on a final note, I know we talked about how kind of like weed opened up your life. How did weed save your life? Or do you feel that weed saved your life?
Oh, yeah. It's got me to where I am now. Hey, oldest guy ever to make the finals in Dancing with the Stars. Sugar Ray.
Yeah.
The boxer. He never made it. He got kicked out, I think, the first day. No, it's all about weed. Because what happens with weed forces you to concentrate on what you're doing, you know. And that's why sometimes you can just sit at home and do nothing. But you're really concentrated on it. The cancer,
yeah.
You know, I'm not saying it cured cancer, but I'll tell you one thing. It allowed the immune system to kick in. Mm-hmm. See, what happens when you do weed, it puts you in the moment, your mind. So you're not worrying about the past. You can't remember the past. You can't remember names. And you can't even think about the future because you're trying to figure out where you are now. And so that's the time that the body uses to reboot itself, you see, like a computer. When the computer goes crazy, you turn it off. Mm-hmm. You don't turn it on. You don't do it. You turn it off. Mm-hmm. That's the same as our immune system. And so weed has a way of not just turning it off, but focusing everything on things like the munchies. Mm-hmm. You get hungry. You get thirsty. Well, the body usually needs more water than we're giving it. you know, and it probably needs healthier foods than we're giving it, you know. And so all that combination makes me who I am. When you're high, you're not really allowed to drift. That's why you can listen. You can hear something. You can see something. You watch a TV show when you're high, and you come away. You're
getting rid of all those outside distractions.
Yeah, you're honing in.
And that's the plus thing. And then the other thing is that we've got proof. You know, Sandra Gupta on TV showed a one-year-old child with epilepsy being cured of her strokes, allowing the mother to hug it for the first time in her life. I mean, if that isn't the kind of proof that everybody should go, oh, well, okay. And as far as personalities goes, humor. All of a sudden, you're laughing at stuff that normally you wouldn't laugh at. Why? Because you're so paranoid, you know, because you're thinking, you're not in the moment. But hey, if you're in the moment, even Saddam Hussein, just before he got murdered, before he hung him, he got heckled. And Saddam came up with a great line, man. He said, "Watch, I'll show you how a real man dies." I mean, perfect. Perfect. You know?
I never thought I'd be talking to Tommy Chong and he brings up Saddam Hussein in an interview.
Why? I got compared to him.
Why?
When?
When I got sent to jail, there was a, I think the Onion or someone said, hey, they showed a picture of Saddam Hussein and they said, hey, I thought we had already caught Tommy Chong.
Listen, you've been so great. Any words of advice you have for Ben and I, Tommy?
I give this advice to everybody now. You got to realize the fact that we can talk to each other, that we're very, very, very special creatures. We're very special. And we're very special individuals. There's not another you, and there's not another you, and there's not another one of me. Even they found out that even identical twins are totally separate. You know, so we are individual creatures, and we've always been here in one form or another. And we will always come back here in one form or another. So my advice really is to realize that. Realize how individual you are and how special you are, no matter who you are. Because there's always something for you to do.
Let's thank Mr. Tommy Chong.
Well, Tommy, thank you so much for spending time with us today. This has been lovely.
My pleasure. Believe me, I really enjoyed it.
You gave us a high.
Yeah, I like that.
And I'm going to go try a vape right now.
A vape?
A vape. Yeah, why not?
Is he lying?
He's probably lying. He's probably just trying to make you feel better.
He's lying.
But
he's lying.
Yeah. One of these days.
That's the old DJ thing. Okay, right now we're gonna give away a lot of money.
It's like bullshit.
Yeah.
Bullshit.
Yeah. Okay, guys. Nice to see you.
Right. All right. Be safe, Tommy. Be safe. Cheers.
Bye.
Okay, cheers.
So you're gonna get high now or what's your deal?
No, Tommy said it's my choice. People, if you want to get high, it's your own choice. So I have to think about that. So, okay. And I'm glad he didn't take part in this whole
reverse intervention.
Reverse intervention. I thought he was going to say, yeah, man, you got to get high. I thought is that a good Tommy Chong impression?
It's fine.
Anyways, I thought he was going to go there, but it's funny. He's an advocate, but he's not a pusher. He's not a drug pusher.
No.
Does that make sense?
Well, I thought it was, he gets very like philosophical about weed, which I thought was really interesting.
Yes.
I think we all have like ideas of like what a stoner quote unquote is or a perception of someone who smokes a lot of weed. And I didn't feel he was that.
Oh, I did.
Well, I think there's something really like with any sort of topic.
To me, a stoner is being chill. Yeah. I think Tommy Chong, he's had cancer. He's been arrested. He's been kicked out of countries. I think at the end of the day, he's just so chill, man.
Yeah, I can agree with that.
Right? And he's just, maybe weed has helped him just be focused and living in the moment.
Yeah. And if that's what it can do and that's how you what you get from it, I don't think there's anything wrong with it.
What do you get from weed, by the way? We never talked about that.
What do you get from weed?
Yeah, why do you smoke weed? We actually never spoke about that.
Why I smoke? I think there are like a few reasons why I smoke.
Number one reason is because you're my son. and you just got to deal with that shit.
Yeah, all the anxiety I've gotten from mainly your side of the family. I've got to tame that somehow.
But what's the real reason?
I guess there is, like, I haven't really thought as, I mean, Tommy's kind of reframed it a little bit for me, but there is that element of focus and being in the moment, whether it's like I'm working on a creative project and I can like hone in on that creativity.
Yeah.
Or I'm with friends and we're cooking and eating. And I feel like there is that kind of intense focus on the food that we're about to enjoy or the shows that we're about to watch. So it is, maybe I didn't know at the time, but there is this element of intense focus on any given thing.
Okay.
So it's creativity and it's enjoyment for me.
I got you there. So speaking of creativity and enjoyment, and I'm going to prove to be a man of my word, I told Tommy that I would try your vape after that interview, and he didn't believe me, and neither did you. Mm. So put it on and let me try it.
Okay.
And I'm being serious. Put it on.
I don't know if you're actually being serious?
Yeah.
Okay.
Put that thing, what's it called?
It's a PAX.
A PAX.
P-A-X.
P-A-X. How does it stand? Does it mean something?
I don't know what it means.
Oh.
It's good.
And what kind of weed is in it right now?
Today you're going to smoke L.A. Confidentials, what's in here right now.
That was a film, L.A. Confidential.
And now it's drugs.
And see, and I can let Tommy know that I actually stuck to my word and I was gonna smoke, what is it called, a hit?
A hit. So you put your lips on this.
I actually like that Up in Smoke was actually going to be called
Greatest Hits.
That was clever too. Okay, so what am I doing?
You put your lips on here and you smoke.
Is it ready to go?
Yeah.
And how much you inhale? Wait, do I have to push a button to inhale?
No, there's no button.
It's not even rolled in paper.
You put your lips on it.
Yeah.
And you suck in.
Okay.
And then you blow out. And that's okay. It.
Wow, I'm focused.
Yeah. You're high as a kite right now.
I am so focused right now, Ben.
Great.
And I have the munchies. I think we should end because I just need a bag of Doritos.
Yeah, we'll go raid
Cool
the fridge.
Ranch Doritos. Well, if you enjoyed that interview, it only gets better.
It would be so much better if you stopped talking like that.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.